Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master. Hong Kong, 1974, part one. Real or imagined Prabhupada. One day an aerogram arrived from Prabhupada's secretary, Satsvarupa Maharaj, informing us that Prabhupada would visit us in 2 weeks. His letter closed, "Hoping to see you again in Krishna consciousness." My left eye twitched. Full of anxiety, I began to prepare for Prabhupada's second visit to Hong Kong. On the day of Prabhupada's arrival, we arranged for a friend to carry the two luxurious rose garlands we would present to Prabhupada. An acquaintance agreed to allow us the use of his Rolls Royce to drive Prabhupada from the airport to the Hong Kong Hilton. Jagatrini and I traveled to the Kai Tak airport by taxi and waited for the garlands, the Rolls Royce, and for Srila Prabhupada. Watching the black flight arrival notice board, I saw Prabhupada's plane had arrived, yet neither the garlands nor the Rolls Royce had appeared. I became anxious. What if Prabhupada steps out of customs and we don't have a garland for him? What if there's no car? After 10 more minutes, the board announced that Prabhupada's flight was clearing customs. I would be seeing him in only a few minutes. Where were the garlands? Where was the Rolls Royce? Then I saw passengers from Prabhupada's flight walking down the ramp. A crowd gathered to greet the arriving passengers. My anxiety grew. Still no sign of the garlands or the Rolls Royce. What will Prabhupada think? My wife's eyes were glued to the gate. My eyes moved rapidly between the incoming passenger gate and the terminal doors. I prayed for a glimpse of rose garlands and a Rolls Royce. I thought that Prabhupada would be satisfied by the fine garlands and the luxurious transport. Quote, "He'll see that I'm following him properly," I thought. "But what will he think if..." Suddenly, I saw a glimpse of saffron behind the customs barrier. Then Prabhupada, the guru of the entire world, my spiritual master, stepped from the gate. His deep eyes and countenance scanned the crowd. "I'm finished," I thought. "Prabhupada's here, and there's no garland and no car." At that moment, Prabhupada's eyes met mine. He was grave. As if on cue, my friend with the garlands arrived, and the Rolls Royce chauffeur walked up a moment later. "Here are the garlands, Bharijan. The car is ready by the south door." I'm in Maya, I thought, and I fainted. I had been imagining a Prabhupada that allowed a compromise of purity and Krishna conscious practices when I suddenly was confronted by the real Prabhupada. The illusory Prabhupada dissolved like mist after sunrise. Prabhupada, as he himself said, was, quote, 90% liberal, but that other 10% was strict. Once Prabhupada invited a disciple to sit with him as he translated Srimad Bhagavatam in the early morning hours. The disciple declined, saying, "I'm already sleeping only 5 hours a night." When Prabhupada replied, "But I'm sleeping less," the disciple squirmed. "Well, you are a Paramhamsa." Prabhupada's answer was strong. "Why, you are not Paramhamsa." Yes, Prabhupada was mellow and his association sweet. But please do not imagine that the Krishna consciousness movement spread throughout the world by this alone. Prabhupada also strongly and continuously pushed his disciples and insisted that they strictly follow the rules and regulations and sacrifice everything to satisfy the desires of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mercy of a Vaishnava. The black Rolls Royce pulled out from the airport and made its way through heavy traffic from the Kowloon side of the harbor to Hong Kong. My wife and I rode with Prabhupada in the car's black plush back seat. Prabhupada held his cane as he sat garlanded with roses, looking like a royal ambassador from the spiritual world. Satrumraj sat in the front seat with the driver. "So nice to see you, Prabhupada," I smiled, trying to look and feel cheerful. Prabhupada smiled and asked my wife about her parents, whom he had met in Australia. Turning to me, he said, "What is your morning program?" "Well, Prabhupada, we don't really have so many guests coming right now, so we usually don't have much of a morning program." My wife quickly closed the gate, the glass window between the front and back seats, separating Satsumaraj from our conversation. Prabhupada continued, quote, "Guests may or not be coming, but why don't you have a morning program? Is your temple in ISKCON? Whose disciple are you?" "Of course I'm your disciple, Prabhupada." I was getting nervous. "Then why don't you have a morning program?" Like a symphony opening with a clash of cymbals, Prabhupada pointed out my deficiencies and misconceptions. My attempts to defend myself only increased Prabhupada's attack. By the time the Rolls-Royce had passed through the harbor tunnel and reached the Hong Kong Hilton, I was exhausted. My comment on this very intense occurrence. It is both the right and the duty of the spiritual master to criticize his disciples. By that criticism, says Chanakya Pandit, good qualities develop. Therefore, at times we hear that it is glorious to be reprimanded by our spiritual master. It is glorious to have him weed the anarthas from our heart. But his reprimand is neither romantic nor pleasurable. It is painfully intense. The person we are working so hard to please is angry, even furious with us. Nor can we rightfully in defense deflect the blame to others for our own faults and inabilities. Only by taking responsibility for our actions can we become rectified. Then good qualities can surface. I can think of two analogies to describe how this mercy felt. Open heart surgery without anesthesia, and Adam's attempt to hide from God after he had sinned. I remember feeling I had no shelter and nowhere to hide. Genuine concern for our spiritual lives caused Prabhupada to act so strongly because he knew that our present path would in time lead to no more Hari Hari Bol. We had mixed impurity, the enjoying spirit, into our Krishna conscious practices and preaching. We had begun to drift. By asking, "Whose disciple are you?" Prabhupada drew the line. I was his disciple and had to listen to him. Despite my own inappropriate behavior, however, I was far from aware of everything that was causing Prabhupada's anger. For example, I didn't know that during the previous year, Gaurasunda, who had successfully pioneered the preaching in Hawaii since 1968, and who was also Prabhupada's GBC representative for South America, had fallen victim to sex intoxication. Months before his difficulties, Gaurasunda had begun to allowing people to worship him as guru. Finally, he fell down and sold the ISKCON's Honolulu temple. He then disappeared, keeping much money from the temple's sale. Prabhupada had traveled to Hawaii from Los Angeles on his way to Hong Kong, yet Gaurasunda had remained aloof, avoiding Prabhupada's association during his two-week stay. Prabhupada was furious and strongly condemned false teachers while he was in Hawaii. Hare Krishna. So I'll continue with this section next. The next section will be a quote from Prabhupada's lecture in Honolulu, just before he had come to Hong Kong. Okay, Hare Krishna.